So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. You know, we're talking about, here it is. Go ahead and read it. Do you have your last rites in order? Now, I know that that's a Catholic thing. You know, for some of us here that have been a Catholic church or raised in a Catholic church, we know that that's last rites. But in a sense, do you have your final stuff done? You know, with Jesus, when he was done with the cross, they came up at the last minute with a paper writ to say, dude, this body's ours, right? And he had it. We're going to see something today with Abraham, because Sarah died, right? Sarah's not, well, we knew that because we're in like 2017, but in the Word, she's died here, and we're facing that death, and we're facing some stuff that's going on. But I have to ask you, do you have your final stuff done? You know, again, this summer when we've had so many folks that are, you know, they've gone home, or, you know, hopefully they've gone home. Well, they've gone home somewhere. It's heaven or hell, right? If Jesus is not your Savior, we know what you're going. If he is your Savior, you know where your final destination is. But you know what? A lot of that stuff's getting ready. You know, just the entry level, it's around, I don't know, 3,000, time you figure everything around it, 3,000 to 4,000. That's if you're going to be cremated. If you're going to be like, you know, a body stick or something, that's going to cost you up to 10. You know, I know you can go to Please Cremate Me for Near Free for like $500-$600. You can get that done, right? Do you have your affairs in order? You know, my mother-in-law, Rose Barajas, she was a little gal, 4'11", 4'10". She had all her affairs in order, 13 kids. She still left a will for them, in a sense. But she had her affairs in order. That when she passed on back in the 90s, Mary and I got our affairs in order right then. We didn't want to leave a burden to our kids. I think, and help me, correct me if I'm wrong, does the Dave Ramsey cover some of that, doesn't it? In one of the weeks past, I think. Is that right? Did it? Okay, good. Yeah, so, you know, it's something you want to get taken care of. What is the instrument that tells them what to do with your stuff? A will. And that's not a guy named William. It is your last desire, your last will and testament, right? Do you have that done, yes or no? Don't say anything. That's kind of rhetorical. If you don't have that done, get it done this week. What? Yeah, get it done this week. Put it to bed so you know what's going on. Because let me tell you something. You know, in the business that I'm affiliated with, we have to deal with a lot of folks that are in probate, and that is a long process when you're grieving. You want to get that put to bed. And I don't care what your age is. For some of you younger guys, you know, you got like little wee ones, you may want to make sure you got a coverage on them. You just never know what's going to happen. When I was in high school, I lost my girlfriend. You know, she got run over by a drunk truck driver. Her name was Lori Villalobos. You know, beautiful gal, had a smile from here to Dallas and back. You know, had a great, sweet personality. She got run over by a drunk truck driver. Who'd have known? Her mom died a year later, you know. So you just want to be prepared and not have to deal with this at the last minute because you'll spend more money than you need to. You're done with that, right? Do you have your last rites, your final affairs in order? You need to have a talk with people about that. They need to know what you want. What do you want? What song you want played at your funeral? There's all sorts of free stuff online that'll prompt you on what you want done. And then you just put that in your safe place for when you go and go home. Somebody will know where your safe place is. They open it up, and guess what? Everything you want done gets done. Who's to watch over the kids? What are we supposed to do with grandma's rings? Does that make sense to you? So open up your, what do you call it? Your phone. Put your scheduler on there no more than 2 weeks from today and get that will put. Start somewhere. Just start somewhere. Because I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier when you walk into somebody's house and everything is done. You know, last Friday, at 3 o'clock, my aunt died, my father's sister, down in Oklahoma. I love that she died on Good Friday at 3 o'clock her time. I was like, Jesus, you're just going, ink, because she loved Jesus. She was never married. We were all her kids. Her name is Jackie, J-A-C-Q-U-E, Jacqueline Pierce. Beautiful saint, had skin like a baby plumb up to 89. I'm telling you, that woman had the best skin. I don't have her skin. Well, she has it, but anyway, she had this real soft look about her, right? And guess what? All of her affairs are in order. Do you know what we have to do because of the internment that she's doing? One of her, like her brother, which is my dad, has to be there to just make sure that that was her and they interned her. Does that make sense? So it's so nice because you know what we get to do? We're going to drive to Oklahoma City. We're going to go through Kansas, you guys' favorite trip, I-70, right? Amber Waves of Green. Yeah. We're going to drive through there and buzz down to OK City and go get that handled. And guess what? We don't have to think about one thing other than how beautiful a saint she is and what she's looking like in heaven today, bro. She's 3 days calendar up there. She's 3 days up there. I am so stoked for her. Her internment and her matters are settled. You know, we're going to be in Genesis 23, and we'll bounce this chapter today. You know, Sarah died, right? She was 127 years old. Did you know she's the only woman in the Bible that has her age marked? Isn't that cool? I love that. She has an amazing placement. And they're looking on to what to do with her remains. I mean, Isaac's 37. He's no punk kid. He's definitely not on that altar to be sacrificed. And then we have this weeping that's going on. And you're going to see about the weeping. Do you know what happens when they wept then? Have you ever heard of a tear bottle? Anybody ever hear of a tear bottle? The tear bottle. It grabs the tear. It grabs the tear. And you know what happens? When somebody cries, the tears go in the bottle. And you know what happens with the teared bottle? They give it to somebody they loved or somebody who is deceased. Isn't that cool to know? So, you know, it's kind of weird to think of tears in a bottle because it's definitely not our custom, right? It's somebody else's custom. But that's kind of what a tear bottle looks like. You can see that it's handcrafted and it's given over. Put your tears in a bottle. Dry up your tears. You know, have you cried so much that nothing was left but salt remains on your eyes? Or you cried yourself to sleep and the next morning you got up and have you ever had that crusty thing across your face because you wept so much and the moisture exhausted and there was nothing but salt crystals there? Oh my gosh, that love that we have for people. You know, Abraham wept for his beautiful bride, Sarah. And you know what? She was a looker. Dude, when she was 80, Abimelech still wanted her in his harem. She was a looker. She probably like ate vegetables all her life. You know, I have people who are vegetarians. They're like, woohoo, got the really great skin. My aunt wasn't, but I think she probably just rubbed steak on her cheek or something. I don't know. But way random. You know what? Do we have Psalm 56? I don't know if we put that in there. Psalm 56:8. Did that come up? Pull that up. Would you mind, please? Look at that. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Or are they in your book? He's talking out to the Lord. Do we have any more with that? Yeah, there we go. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, hold this slide. In the Lord, I will praise his word. Look, when you're crying, when you're sad and all of that, you're going to praise the Lord. If that plane's going down and you're on it, praise you, Lord. If you hit some black ice, praise the Lord, or help me out, right? We praise the Lord in hard times. These are tears in a bottle. Please go ahead. Thank you. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can a man do to me, right? Vows made to you are binding upon me. Oh God, I will render praises. I will render hallel to you. Go ahead. For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Oh my God, I love that psalm. But you remember some chick washed Jesus' feet? Go to that next one, 7:38. I think it was Matthew. I can't remember. Yeah. And I stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed him with fragrant oil. Tears from her face, tears from a bottle of appreciation because she'd been forgiven so much. See, we have tears at all different levels, and we're going to jump into a little of that today. But before that, we're going to bolt on into Genesis 23, wherever it starts. Oh, there it is. Father, this is your word. You know what you want to do with it, so please get us out of the way. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kirjah Arba. That's Hebron. Do you know what the word Hebron means? Fellowship. Isn't that cool? Outpost Calvary Hebron, right? Love that. In the land of Canaan, Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and wept for her. Some of you have lost in your life. Some of you have lost your spouse. Some of you have lost children or multiple children. Some of you have lost, had. And I'll tell you what, dude, you know one of the things that we pray for you is that you weep deep and that you weep well. Do you know why? Because there's healing in it. When you release and let God do what he's going to do, go deep in your soul, he's bringing tools, not swords and weapons. Man, I'm telling you right now, if you have a child, you may have got a splinter in your little baby finger. Mom! And you know, they're like, don't take it out, right? Because it's like death to them, yeah? But you know something? When we've had mortal loss, we should weep. It's normal. It's wholesome. And he wept for her. Then Abraham stood up before the dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I'm a foreigner. Even though God had given him this land in Canaan and told him that, it hadn't been totally to him yet, he's still a foreigner in the land. So he is addressing from his tent stakes that he's a foreigner in the land. A visitor among you, he says in 4, give me property for a burial place among you that I may bury my dead out of sight. Well, that's kind of hair-raising. You're telling, give me a property. No, that means sell me property. That means sell me property. Sell me property for a burial among you. The sons of Heth in 5 answered Abraham, saying to him, hear us, my Lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead. Did you see what they said to him? You're a mighty prince among us. You know, in the caste system, your last name will denote your socioeconomic level. You may have a name and your whole family gets stuck with that name and you're looked down on. I had a buddy who was a pastor, came back here. He was, where is he from? It'll have to come back to me. Anyway, he was from over there. And he had a name that was at the bottom, but this guy was a pastor. And man, I'll tell you what, he was doing the work of the Lord. His name meant everything to God. Well, here's Abraham, a foreigner, because a lot of times foreigners aren't taken care of, right? He was a foreigner. When was the last time you had a foreigner under your house for dinner? And covered your head, ladies, if they covered their head. Just as an appropriate thing and not trip them up, not trip up the husband, right? Bring them in. Maybe they speak a language you don't speak, or sign language. Maybe they don't speak that. You don't speak that. He was a foreigner. He lived out of a tent, but they saw him as a mighty man. You want to hear the juxtapose? Look at Lot. Lot was in the city, right? And they were pleading with the men because they had these carnal desires for the guys. Kind of crazy. But he said, men, look, settle down. Don't do this. And you know what they told him, Mr. High-minded Lot, in a sense? Who are you? See, you can live in the finest of cities. You can live about anywhere. But if your name isn't meaningful, what does that matter? That's what I love about the Lord. He will take everybody, regardless of their station in life, as they have predicted or done, or traumatic time has happened to them where they had to take a job that caused them a degree of wealth reduction. He takes and sees your heart, and others know you. Isn't that cool? They will know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. That's your calling card. That's your business card. Your business card ought to have a big old heart right in front of your mug with the little signs on the outside. Motion. That's just how they know him. And Abraham stood up and bowed in 7 himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. He bowed before him, dude. He showed him respect and honor, and he spoke with him, saying, if it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and meet with Hephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave on Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of the field. Let him give it me to it for the full price as property for the burial place among you. Do you know what the name of Machpelah means? Double doors, or two doors. And the consideration is, we enter this world, we exit this world. Abraham wanted a place for his wife to be entered and then obviously exited to eternal life. I just love the richness of that and how he thought. But he wants to pay full price. Why do you think he wants to pay full price? What do you think? You got a gut feeling? You can use your words. Pardon? That's part of it. Absolutely. Got another idea? Go, quick. Best for his wife? Why didn't he negotiate down? Dude, I'm a negotiator. I want to get best price. And you know this cat would have taken 25% because of the guy's name. By the way, he'd remove the tax burden, the land, the responsibility of looking over it, right? You guys are right on track. Let me tell you what. He didn't want anybody holding anything over him. He didn't negotiate. He paid full price so that everybody would know that this is my bride's place. Pretty cool, dude. Machpelah. It almost sounds like a song. Now, I'm not going to sing it. Now, Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth and Ephron, and the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of the sons, all who entered the gates of the city, saying, "No, my Lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of your sons of my people. I give it to you. Bury your dead. I give it to you means I'm willing to trade. I'm willing to negotiate." That's what that definition is. But you notice where he said it? He said it at the gates as he's coming in. That's where all the business is done. That's where all the judging is done that others would hear, that would lend to the oral code, if you will, of what had happened to seal this event. I lost my place. Help me. Okay, I got it. Never mind. And I'll bury my dead. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, "My Lord, listen to me. Listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What's that between you and me?" That's another negotiation tactic. Let me tell you what 400 shekels is in today's term. That's about 200 ounces of silver. Do you guys know how much silver is going an ounce? About 18 bucks an ounce, circa. So you do the math. That's some coin. Say, that's some coin. Right? Do you have 200 ounces of silver in your well-being? Don't answer that, because we'll all know where your silver is. Abraham listened to Hebron. Hebron weighed out the silver for Ephron. He didn't even negotiate, which he had, and he named in the hearing of the sons of Heth 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. So the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, because this is, you know, at elevation 3,000 feet roughly, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham and as a possession in the presence of the son of Heth before all those who went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, that is Hebron, that is fellowship, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as a property for a burial place. They struck a chord. They had final resolve done. He paid full pop. He didn't want anybody having anything over him. You know, it's sad when you have to bury somebody. I'm telling you now, you know what it's like for the disciples. You know, the 12 D's, now there's 11, right? Because Judas is... Yeah? So they're done. The ladies that are with them, the kids that are there, there's some people, there's some momentum of God. And you're sitting there, and they broke bread. They broke bread. And they ate, and they had it together. And it was just fun and laughter. Not all of it was like, I was watching an old 60s, I think it was, version of Jesus, and everybody's like this. And nobody's talking. There's no, you know, when you see the shows and there's murmur and activity in the background, it's like this. And when he's at the table, only Jesus is talking when he talks to Judas. And then all the dudes go, you know, to look at him. You know that they were talking. You guys just saw the movie Risen. We saw it Saturday or Friday night, Good Friday. Dude, I love, if you've not seen it, go see it. Or buy it, or you can borrow it from here, but you got to have it back in a week. This ain't Redbox. And go see it, because I think they really captured what it would have been like to be the disciple. The behind the scenes, the backstory, the behind the camera. They allowed the guys just to be together and be themselves, you know, tripping them, right? You know Peter and John, when they ran down to the stone, you know they tripped one another. No, they didn't. It's not in the book, so we better not add to it. I would have. And it showed them like being people. Dude, boom, 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 boom. 12 disciples are just y'all with long hair and fuzzy beards and a dress, right? Some fish, some collected taxes, some did whatever, right? Me, I wouldn't have had a beard. I can only grow a goat. Everything else, nothing. Crying. They scattered. You saw when he cut off Malchus' ears. Malchus means king or kingdom. He cut off the ear, and Jesus is like, bro, what's up? Can you imagine being Malchus? Getting your ear stuck back on. He didn't, no stitches, no healing pain medicine. Just boom, you're better. Scattered. Wasn't one of them running kind of without clothes? He lost his skirt. Pew, gone. I will always not be without clothes, except in the... Crying. Why is he crying? Because you just saw this dude who you're still trying to get your mind wrapped around 5,000 people being fed and all their family, and you had like loaves and fishes and bags and baskets full of stuff. You had remnants and parts and pieces from that. You saw him heal tomb boy of the legion of a demonic influence that was inside of him, and nobody else could do it. He kept snapping the bindings that he had. He had so many, and they bolted out of him, jumped in the pigs, and pigs in the water, right? Steaming hot dogs. You saw him when you're freaking out on the water and the storm, and he's back here, and he's... All this, don't you wake up? Don't you know we're going to die? Be still. Sheet of glass, like that. Walking on water, you saw that. Peter was like, dude, let's go. Glug, glug. Right? And everybody else sat in the boat and watched. I'm not getting out. Peter, you go on four, you're going to go down. Told you go down. You know, that probably didn't happen, but if I was there, it would have. Probably would have jumped out myself. You saw all the healings. You know what you saw? You saw the love. You saw the temple being flipped over because they were exchanging money for the temple coins. They were taking your hard-earned sacrifice, whether it be poor or wealthy, whether it be bird or beast, being traded so that they could take it and sell it later, more than likely, and then have to charge you a temple tax on top of it. That's why he turned it over. He said, this is a house of prayer. See, we saw his heart. We saw his passion. We see what he's like. And he is gone. And you get up Saturday morning. And it's not ending. The death is still in your breath. The death is still in your heart. The loss of a dear, you know it's God. It's loss. It sucks. I don't want to eat. Oh, I don't want to eat. I don't even want to eat water. You guys ever dealt with depression? I have. Doesn't make you a bad Christian. It makes you having a bad day or life if it's chronic. You're still a Christian. Tough days. Oh, I don't want to get up. We put him in the grave, half done. We had to hustle him down from 3 o'clock, wheel him across the way, and get him doped up with all the herbs and wrapped up and put him in haphazardly. They sealed it and put their stamp in there. Can he just die in peace? You've already mutilated him beyond seeing. And guess who's happy? The Pharisees and Sadducees. We got that guy. Done. Oh, you don't know what that's like. You remember when they got Saddam Hussein? You were like, yeah. Because all the jerk stuff he did, I can't tell the stories because the kids are here, and we know a lot of them. Those Sadducees were happy, and the disciples, they were just like, this sucks. I'm sorry, but that's what it does. Sunday morning's coming. More of the same. M-O-T-S. Jesus is dead. Ladies are going out pre-dawn. got to go finish the job. You see, the next time they see him, they're seeing the remnants of a body in decay 2 days now, because it's three calendar days. Well, he died on Friday from 3 o'clock to Saturday. No. That's counted as part of the day. That's day one. Day two, any part of a day is counted the whole day. That's why it's 3 days after. Got to go finish the job. They're going to go herb and spice him and get it final. And they come up and they're like, what? They didn't have glasses. What? The thing's open. Who stole? Where did he go? Who opened that? Who opened that? Then Pharisees and Sadducees. You guys know what it's like when you lose something, right? You know what it's like. You're blaming everybody but you. Right? I was saying earlier today, you're looking for your cell phone all over. You're like, who took my phone? Or you lost some money? And you're like, all right, who took my money? Who's been in my house? Do you guys do that, or is that just me? Is that just, I guess it's just me. Okay, sorry, I suck. Where did he go? And the weeping gets worse. We can't even get him buried proper. Where did he go? Where did he go? Who's running? Eminem, right? Mary? She's going to see John and Peter and the boys? Dude, he's gone. It says he said. No way. Because they race. That's how it's read. Have you read it? You could see that I got there first. You know they were competitive. Dude, you know they were competitive. They had to be. They're guys. You gals can be too, but it's a guy story right now. And they look in, nothing's there. Do you think all that stuff come to memory? How about when they came in the upper room? They're sitting there and poof, there's Jesus. Everybody but Thomas. 8 days later, Thomas gets to see. Everybody calls him Doubting Thomas. Dude, every one of them would have doubted. They just got to see him early. And he wanted proof too. Boom, 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 heal. He showed himself 500 plus times to see it and people to be spoken to in a confirming story. Dude, what do you think happened when they found out that what he said is true and he is alive again, nailed through and alive again, dead 3 days, risen? Woo! This is a good day. You're not sad anymore. Yeah, you miss him. I miss my aunt, but she ain't Jesus. She's just Jackie that loved Jesus. And all our friends here that have passed. Those ones that are in heaven, it's like, dude, this is so cool. This is so cool. And those that are in hell, can't do anything about it. Let's go talk to somebody about Jesus so we don't have another one go there. Right? How do you think those Sadducees were? It's not fair, you see. We're so sad, you see. And they're like, find a body. You got to find a body. And they're stoked. Well, look, this is the deal. This is the deal. You're a Christian. And the ones that you that aren't, you're not a Christian. You're a Christian. Let me see your Christian face. Ding. We're going to learn about the love of Jesus. Get in the car. Hi. No, that joy runs deep. Do you know what Peter did? Every time he was at the bottom of a hill, he ran. Yeshua! Yeshua! Over every hill, he was expecting him to come. When I was a kid, they told me I had my head in the clouds. I was one of those guys that was always thinking. I'm always thinking. You guys think too. I was just more distracted. My butterflies were more than yours. And I'm always thinking, you got your head in the clouds. And I'll tell you what, that's where I want my head. Because I'm looking for him to come back. Come get us, Dad. And until then, I want to have that love of Jesus, even in my worst of days, because with all those deaths that we've faced and all the challenge that has come and the medical infirmities and all the blah, 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 I'm tired of even talking about it from my view. But I'm not tired of talking about it, and I'll tell you why. Because my faith has run deeper. My love for Jesus Christ has run deeper. My passion for him, your passion for him runs deeper. that you can talk to other people about the Lord. Brighten up. You don't need to be like, I'm a Christian. You didn't vote for my guy. What? The only vote is that guy, and he did it for us. He voted for us. Dude, enjoy him. I want to be just like you. No, have fun with it. It's okay to have fun with your life in Christ. And the suffering's going to come. It's part of the job. But you might as well join in between and enjoy it. You know that Last Supper, they were chowing down on some tortillas and suds, right? Dude, come on. But those tears, you know Jesus is in those tears, right? He's with you. Show that tear bottle again, will you, that second round. You know, there's that tear bottle, remember? How do I know that Jesus is with me? Can I get the next slide? Right there. You know what that is? That's a teardrop. What do you see in that teardrop? Yeah. At the cross. That salt, please. Isn't that cool? I love that. He's alive. Dude, we still get to celebrate. And he's still alive today when we're reading stories historically. No. He's alive today. Give me that Isaiah scripture, will you? Wham. Oh, I like that one. He will swallow up death, say it with me, forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has done deal. I love that. Oh, death, where is your sting? Right? A lot of folks said, well, why did he have to do this? It's not why did he do this. It's why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? What's holding you back, bro? Do you have your last rites in order? Do you? Do you have your last rites in order? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Some of you may have, and you just a little rusty around the bowl hole, or your wheels are squeaking a bit, and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, and you do that right now today. Some of you have never, ever given your life to Jesus Christ, ever. And you're not bound for heaven. Sorry. But you're not stuck there. You get the opportunity to confess him and make him new. You know that whole thing about confessing him in public, and a lot of folks will stand you up? And that's fine to do that way, but it's not that. It is to confess him once your life is surrendered, where you're confessing him perpetually in your life. We're going to pray. And I am going to have you stand, but not all of you. If you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and have never been baptized, today's the day. Stand. Today's the day. Stand. Stand. Anybody else? Stand. You guys come on down here. Just line up here. Please. Come right over here. You're going to get wet. Yep. Take your glasses off, your earrings, your cell phone. Leave it behind. Have any of you given your life to Christ and you're... Don't worry, you're not going to get wet. Have you given your life to Christ and you're dusty? Be honest. Stand. You're rusty. Stand. Please, honey, come on over. Stand. If you haven't done the work for him, stand. Go ahead, sir. Yeah. Because you've been caught up in the world, right? Some of you are wanting to give your life to Jesus Christ, but you're not ready for baptism, but you still want to give your life over to Christ, stand. If you want to give your life over to Christ and not ready for baptism, do you understand that this day was ordained for you? Let me tell you how a pastor's, and just bear with me a minute, how a pastor's mind works, just like everybody else's. Oh, we can't put a tub up on Easter. What if people don't stand? See, we were here every third Saturday. We have a men's Bible study and breakfast. And y'all that didn't make it, that's tummy-licious. But let me tell you something, it's spiritual-licious. And I'm sitting at the table, north side facing south, going, oh my God, you want to do what? We can't do that, God, in my little box. I didn't know I had to live for certain. No, my box is so small. And then the very next thing is, I don't care if I'm a fool. We'll dump water on the plants if that's what's needed. But you want to know something? We set it up. And Brent, yesterday, you said something about a church doing, you're not seeing a baptism or whatever it was. Like, stay up if you can. He was saying yesterday that usually these things are planned. How much notice did you have? Oh, just a few seconds. Some of you a pre-call. Do you understand? Do you understand? You that love Jesus Christ and you're, he's your Savior, I need you to come over. Men, lay hands on other men. Women, lay hands on these women right now. We're going to pray for them. You guys hang on just a minute, okay? You're going to repeat after me, those of you that are giving your life to Jesus Christ, and then we're going to pray for you. Okay, those of you and this man here in front, Larry, would you come lay hands on this man, please? The ones that are giving your life over to Christ, we have a man, Glenn, come around, lay hands on this man. Sir, would you lay hands on this man? Would you lay hands on the man behind you, Zach? We're family here, dude. We're family by blood, by created blood, but we're family by Jesus Christ. Some of these are your new members. Who is dedicating their life to Jesus for the time today? Raise your hand real quick. Go ahead. Okay, yeah, all right. I'm going to pray a blessing on you and then bow your head and just so you don't have any distraction. I'm going to pray a blessing on you that giving your life to Christ, and you're going to repeat after me, and you can just quietly do that. Father, we look out after all these people because you're doing this work here today in the most peculiar way, but not for us. Because we're Christians and we're used to seeing you do the miraculous. And Lord, I just ask that your hand be evident in their life, that it's not just coming to know the Lord because we had a really great message or we understood or, wow, it's the day to do it. It's like lock, stock, and barrel being sold out for you forever. So we're praying on these folks. Everybody applaud. Welcome to the family. Repeat after me. Repeat after me. Repeat after me. And you know what? If you need some help and don't want to feel alone, the audience can as well. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me all my wrongs against you and others. You're my Savior. I accept you as such. Thank you for this day. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Do you know what the angels are doing right this second? Hallelujah! Woo! Rock star, right? Oh, you're not done yet. We got the rusty, dusty people. Right? Father, we just pray a blessing on the rusty, dusties because every one of us can get there. Enough horsing around. Enough. Enough. Enough of this world. Enough of this silliness. Lord, we're just here. We're here because we love you. We just want to be renewed. And if that means diving in the water all over again, soaking wet, we live in Colorado, we'll dry out. Thank you for this day. Thank you for renewing in us. We pray this in your name. Everybody said, amen. Just leave it at amen.